In the name of the Father, we looked at Matthew chapter 6. Today we looked at Matthew chapter 7, where our Lord Jesus says in verse 7 of that chapter, "Ask and it shall be given you." And when I read that assigned reading in the August, my mind was immediately drawn to 2 Chronicles chapter 1. Where in a nice conversation, this is what God said to Solomon. In that night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, "Ask what I shall give you." And Solomon said to God, "Thou hast shown great and steadfast love to David my father, and hast made me king in his stead. O Lord God, let thy promise to David my father be now fulfilled, for thou hast made me king over a people as many as the dust of the earth. Give me now wisdom and knowledge to go out and come in before this people, for who can rule this thy people that is so great?" God answered Solomon, "Because this is in your heart, and you have not asked possessions, wealth, honor, or the life of those who hate you, and have not even asked long life, but have asked wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may rule my people over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge are granted to you. I will also give you riches, possessions, and honors such as none of the kings had who were before you, and none after you shall have the like. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you could be Solomon and hear God say to you this morning, 'Ask what I shall give you'? Well, go ahead and put yourself in Solomon's shoes. If you do, you submit yourself to a real test and a challenge. It was a test for Solomon. And notice the breadth of God's command. 'Ask what I shall give to you.' No holds barred. Solomon's request should be as big and as broad as the Almighty's power. How great the temptation to respond, 'Lord, give me power, possessions, wealth, honor, and long life.' Do you disagree? Perhaps you suppose Solomon wasn't really tried at all. This was the great king Solomon, one of the stellar saints of the Old Testament. No sweat, no strain, no struggle for him to make the right choice of wisdom over wealth. You think Bible saints are super saints? Different, abnormal, not made of the same frail and sin-prone stuff as we are. Not true. This kind of thinking offers us an excellent and convenient excuse for not trying to match the godly feat and heroism and sacrifice of these Bible people. It is a test for us. As Christ says in Matthew 7, "Ask and it shall be given you." Do you think how this command puts you to the test? How it forces you to reveal your true colors? For the answer you give becomes a character commentary. It tells whether we have a God-centered heart or a good-centered heart. We should like to make two observations here. First, it's not having good and saying, but wrong. It's serving them, being their obedient slave. There's nothing wrong with a new rabbit convertible, a luxurious apartment, a color RCA TV set, an expensive library, or a safe deposit box just with savings. It's serving these things that's wrong, allowing them to dictate the course and the plan for our life, letting these things be the center, the controlling and consuming interest of our life. That's what's in. You see, serving goods and things is terribly costly. For one thing, it obscures and clouds God's love for us. Look at it this way. Your life is like a cup. And into this cup, God has poured his forgiveness and grace in Christ Jesus, and now the cup is full. But the Lord keeps on pouring the blessings of his love, the material benefits that we all prize and enjoy. And the trouble is, we become overly concerned with the overflow of good and material things. And we love them more than the contents of the cup, God's grace and pardon in Christ. And so the Lord often deprives us of some of the overflow so that we might again sufficiently treasure the contents of the cup. And also, it may destroy our love for people. The story was told of a rabbi who had a miserly friend, and one day he called his friend into his home, and he asked him to look out of the window. "What do you see?" asked the rabbi. "I see people, of course," replied his stingy friend. "Good," said the rabbi. "Now take a look in the mirror and tell me what you see." "Why," replied his friend, "I see myself, of course." "Behold," said the rabbi, "there is glass in both mirror and window, but as soon as a little silver is added, you cease to see others and see only yourself." Does the silver of money and good and fame get in our way and prevent us from seeing the people about us who desperately long for our love, for the sacrifice of ourselves and their behalf? Go ahead. Put yourself in Solomon's shoes, but if you do, your request should meet the challenge. "Lord, help me in my work." Solomon prayed that God would help him in his work to be seen. And now note the happy combination of humility and confidence in this prayer. Solomon didn't say, "Lord, I doubt if I can do it. This being king is too much." Nor did he say, "This is a snap. With all the gifts and abilities that I have, it's going to be a breeze." No, he was willing to tackle this hard task with God's help. And you can do the same in your study and in your life. Paul taught us to say, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And please notice, you can do all things. You can be a good student, a good husband, a good father, a good wife, a good mother, an obedient child, a friend, a classmate. You can conquer your ungoverned tongue, your bad habits, your fears, emotions. You can through Christ, who makes you strong. Who makes you strong through the word you hear, the word you study, the word you read, the word you eat. From the pulpit and from the people, you hear about the word, about Jesus. Jesus, who became very weak for you, weak to the point of death, where he had no strength at all. And by this weakness of Christ, God lifted the load of sin from your sagging shoulders, and now you are strong and robust to serve him. And at the altar, you eat the word. Christ Jesus, who lived, died, and burst the bonds of death to separate you from your sins and to unite you with God forever. And as you hear the word and eat the word, you are made strong to do all things. God, give me wisdom. Solomon was here praying for the skill to be a good king and for the knowledge and the ability to walk God's path. For wisdom in the Old Testament always means two things: the skill to do a good job, and it's the strength to serve the Lord. And isn't that our prayer to God? We too pray, "Lord, give me wisdom." And this is what we mean: "Lord, give me Christ." St. Paul calls Christ our wisdom. Why? Because by Christ we know that guilt is gone and heaven is coming. By Christ we know that the grave is simply our temporary coffin bed and not our final resting place. Go ahead. Put yourself in Solomon's shoes. But don't stay in Solomon's shoes. Can Solomon ask for wealth, I mean for wisdom instead of wealth? God, as you remember, gave him both. But in the end, Solomon suffered because of his riches. His wealth turned him away from God. It ruined him. Therefore, be careful of your things, your good. It is still easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter heaven. Put yourself in Solomon's shoes, but don't stay there. Amen.